Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. In response to listener interest in a better quality audio broadcast, we have re-edited our interview of 2 weeks ago about the reassignment to income tax for collection of Canada Pension, Old Age Security, Employment Insurance, and Canada Student Loans. First, let's bring you up to date with Brian Wood, an ODSP client on medical strike awaiting fair treatment from Sir Sanford Fleming College, ODSP, and housing agencies, and fighting medical issues at the same time.
Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
How things been?
Well, the amputation of that gangrenous toe on the left foot on Wednesday.
You tell me it's kind of funny dealing with a four-toed foot now.
Yeah, it looks strange. I can't really see it very well because of my blindness, but if I get close enough, it really looks strange only having four toes on the foot. It can be quite painful at times.
Still, okay.
But I'm still walking with my walker, so I'm keep on being given help by the nurses saying you should be using a wheelchair. That's why I was bleeding so much all the time.
Oh.
And I keep on saying, well, my doctor says to walk for my circulation, so
yeah,
you go argue with him and then decide what to do.
I see.
And that's a whole different field of battle.
Right.
That's for sure. Believe
okay.
me, after being in here for almost 10 weeks, I can see the healthcare system inside and out.
Okay. No scooter still at school, right?
No scooters at school yet, and I can't get to school till I've got that. I mean, my portable oxygen tanks can be taken over on a day's notice by the company involved. But
what do you mean?
Well, I can just phone them and say, okay, I need to say I have two tanks delivered over there. They'll last me X number of hours.
Oh, delivered,
deliver
okay.
them.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then they'll just put fresh ones in there for every time, every day I'm there that I need them.
Oh, good.
So
the only people who aren't cooperating at a school.
Well, yeah.
Do you think they're discounting your attendance because of your disability?
I'm beginning to think so, yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is, they're saying to me, well, I have to actually be in class before they can use this Canada Study Grant bursary to order the scooter. And I said, well, I can't be in class till you get the scooter.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the beginning.
This is just sort of really quite ridiculous. I said, well, if that's the case, then why don't you call somebody at the Canada Study Grant offices and explain the situation and see if you might get an exemption.
Yeah.
Explain to them that I simply can't get there because I can't move around the campus without it. I can't do it on a walker.
That's right.
The oxygen tank takes up a third of the basket in my walker, so I wouldn't have any room to carry books or anything else.
Yeah.
And I would have to have, easy access to changing tanks, because the tanks only last 3 to 4 hours. So.
Yeah. Well,
that's another battle.
Either a matter of policy or a decision by the school, somebody's discounted your attendance.
I think so, yeah.
Which isn't a very nice experience.
Well, I think they discounted my whole attendance from the beginning back in April when I started making inquiries not to go there. I was not treated extremely well and got a very poor attitude from the assistant registrar there as well as from the counselor, as if I wasn't really serious about going. So,
I think we all know that the Human Rights Commission, too, would be like a 4 or 5 year battle before you got anything out of them, and then it would be a token compensation. That's the odd thing about the Human Rights Commission is that their mandate is such that they can't compensate you for loss. So if, for instance, you were better able to provide you for yourself as a result of training and the school stood in the way of your training, you couldn't go after the school through the Human Rights Commission for the civil loss.
Right.
You would have to sue civilly for that loss.
And then it costs you a fortune.
Yeah. It's an ongoing fight for everybody with disabilities. Unfortunately, you have more than your share of them. Speaking of poor attitudes, what has happened at ODSP?
Well, we got a partial settlement on my retroactivity on benefits from 2003.
Yeah.
But they deducted about $1,500, I think it was, off of the settlement, saying I had too much money in my bank account back in the fall of 2003.
Right.
And the first part of 2004, which actually was part of the estate. But
uh-huh.
they dinged that for me. Of course, the bank had taken it back out of my account after they got their figure and saw that balance in the account.
Oh. So it's a question of timing.
Yeah, really. It's just too much. It's just a case of them putting me through hoops and hoops and hoops and hoops.
You're not alone.
If I ask for a special tribunal, it's going to take 9 months to get that, so what the hell, I could be dead by then.
How about the blood test that you had?
The bone marrow, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely there's bone cancer in there, so.
Yeah. Lower leg?
Pardon me?
Lower leg?
Yeah, lower leg as well as the other leg as well.
The other leg too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm looking at another battle with that as well, I suppose.
Have they proposed a treatment?
Not yet. No, I haven't even had a chance to talk to my doctor or anything like him about this yet.
Okay.
So he's been too busy to sit down, and so have I. So the problem of trying to find a place to live.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Not having any luck there. The social worker from the hospital was in here on Wednesday, and she said, well, maybe you should go live in a motel.
What?
Yeah.
Is she going to subsidize it?
I don't know. Who's going to subsidize it? Who's going to be around to help me if I have a fall or if I need help with my oxygen or whatever? I guess I just have to pick up a call phone and call 911.
Yeah.
And back up in the hospital.
Yeah.
The group home I applied to here called Harrison House, they don't think they'll be able to take me because it's basically for psychiatric patients, and I don't qualify that way, and they don't have an elevator, so they only have stairs, and they have two bedrooms on the first floor, which will be fine, but they're already occupied.
Okay.
So I don't think that's going to wash.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like I'm in an endless treadmill that's going nowhere.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, we discussed giving out contact information for you.
Yeah.
And we didn't broadcast that, but you have access by phone is the only one.
Yeah.
705-324-6111, extension 4955.
Yep. I just can't find a place to live.
Yeah.
And that's really becoming a problem.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling, sir.
All right.
Take care, and thanks to listeners for their listening and their support.
You're welcome.
With us, Shane Dysak, the Director of Communications from the Minister of Revenue's office, and tax lawyer Arthur Dreisch, a Queen's Counsel, and a member of the Order of Canada. Both these men have different points of view. Kick back, listen again, disrespect.
We welcome to the show today Shane Dysak, Director of Communications for the Ministry of National Revenue. Shane, it's in response to a column in the Post by Arthur Dreisch, who is a tax lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's noted that since August 1st, the federal government has chosen to delegate collections of SDC accounts, which include CPP and old age pension, to Revenue Canada. And we talked about this earlier. Have you found out any more about why this decision was made?
Yeah, over the last year or so, departments that are doing similar activities are looking to put those activities under a single deputy minister in a single department, or in this case, an agency, to streamline the activities.
Right. That means if the government has the capacity to perform a task, then it wants everyone who has that task to give it to the one place where it has the capacity, in-house?
Yeah. SDC, for example, will transfer people that work under that portfolio to the Canada Revenue Agency, and they'll pursue their activities under the Canada Revenue Agency.
Oh, so you're literally reassigning personnel here, then?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so the SDC collectors will now be paid by Revenue Canada.
Right. Right now, really the only thing that's changing is the label, the stationery. What will happen over the coming year or so is that the management at CRA will be able to look at the different practices that the different departments were using and come up with best practices in order to better serve Canadians.
When you talk about best practices to better serve Canadians, you're talking about changes. What kind of changes are you talking about? A uniform practice across Canadian government collections?
There could be. Now, each act will have specific collections means written into it.
Right.
So the Income Tax Act will have certain powers for collectors to use, and the same for the CPP Act. And
well, you're not saying that they'll be the same powers.
No.
The CPP Act will have its distinct powers written into its collection capability.
Yeah. For example, a more visible change is that, let's imagine somebody didn't pay enough taxes, and that person, for one reason or another, also has an overpayment charged to them. They were overpaid on one of the programs.
Okay.
Take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't really have an ability to pay.
All right.
Now, the way it existed prior to August 1st, that person would have to deal with SDC and Revenue Canada. Now, if that person didn't really have an ability to pay, they would have to deal with the two entities separately.
Right.
In this case, then, a single agent working right. for the Canada Revenue Agency, would look at the total ability to pay, and they would be able to look at what's equitable for these overpayments to be resolved. So really, rather than dealing with governments piecemeal, it comes together in one package.
What's equitable for somebody who's living on a pension that, let's say, half or two-thirds of the poverty line, and finds out that they shouldn't have even been getting that much and that now they're obligated to repay? How do they establish what's equitable in that case? They're asking them now to live on less. The example for me is a private agency who if the individual submitted a budget and said, this is what I live on, and this is what's at my discretion, and the private agency looks at it and says, this guy hasn't got anything and we can't garnish his wages, let's put this one in the cooler until his income improves or until it gets so stale we have to
write
it off.
And someone who is at subsistence level, there are all kinds of options that the revenue agency can employ. The idea is to avoid a situation where someone is having to choose between buying their groceries and paying their taxes.
Right.
There's no power for the revenue agency to forgive a tax debt.
Right.
But there certainly is power under the fairness provisions to forgive penalties and interest.
Mm-hmm.
The arrangement could be that, if you owe $100 but you really can't afford anything, you pay us, it can be as little as, pay us $1 a month.
Yeah.
And that's something that, if that happens to be reasonable from both sides,
right,
then that's an avenue that's pursued.
All right.
If the debt's deemed uncollectible,
right,
it's basically put into a file where it's no further action is taken.
Right.
But if circumstances were to change and money starts coming in again to that individual, then the file is reactivated.
Okay. I know that Revenue Canada has the power to oversee the resources of any individual in Canada simply by flagging the tapes that their banks send in under their social security number. Will this be a power that now accrues to SDC as well?
It actually was. It always has been a power of SDC.
Okay.
They've been able to do that. Now, what Revenue Canada won't do
right. Is
that they won't garnish social program benefits.
They will not.
For tax debt.
All right.
I mean, the tax debt exists, and there may be situations where if financial means allow it, then they can withhold some of these benefits, but that would have to be means tested and agreed to, and it would have to look, the fairness provisions would be taken into account.
So, in fact, they would, under circumstances to be determined by them, they would garnish social benefits such as old age pension or CPP.
And that would be case by case. I can't give you a specific
example.
Some people have, higher costs than others.
Okay.
It sounds like it could be a difficult venture, but Revenue Canada, the Canada Revenue Agency, is really working hard to make interactions with them as pleasant as they can be. Of course, it's an unpleasant subject, and no one wants to be on the wrong side of a debt with the government. But coming in and dealing with it early is really the best way. It's really important to, if you think that Revenue Canada is doing something that is unfair, it's mm-hmm. really important to tell them you think this is unfair. Of course, if you do owe the money, then the law demands that you pay the money.
All right. Thank you for your time today, Shane.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
And now we'll take a short break with the blues.
They say there's two kinds of people in the world, the day people and the night people. And it's the night people's job money. Nighttime is when I come around. Nighttime is when I come round. I get right when the sun goes down. Nighttime is when the neon comes on. Nighttime is when the neon comes on. When the sun goes down, it's when we shake him on.
Back to our interview in progress.
We welcome to the show today Arthur Dresch, member of the Order of Canada, Queen's Council, and founding partner of Dresch LLP in Ottawa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Dresch has written a column in the National Post about the assignment of collection of debts under SDC, Social Development Canada, to the Canada Revenue Agency. Mr. Dresch, it seems to be a retrograde step in your view.
Yes, it is, I think. First of all, in terms of my experience, I've been in practice for in excess of 30 years, and most of that time has been a tax practice. And so I've had dealings with Revenue Canada and CRA and all the different names they go under for a long time.
Right.
Over the years, I have to say that, generally speaking, the quality of people in the agency has improved tremendously, and their dealings with the public have improved. The one area where I certainly have not seen any particular improvement, and my colleagues tend to agree with me, is in the area of collections. It's not an easy job. Now, the problem, as I perceive it, with the new arrangement is that among their expanded duties, if you will be to collect unpaid student loans and overpaid Canada Pension Plan and OAS, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
My experience has been that on the whole, as long as they're dealing with the banks and people like that, and as long as they've been fortunate enough to have a job, they can work things out. And you know, the vast majority have every intention of repaying as long as they got time.
Right.
The problem, as I perceive it's going to develop, is that you are letting loose on these people, the professional collectors from the CRA, who are very, very tough people indeed. If the CRA guys use the same techniques on young people who have student loans, for example,
mm-hmm.
or conversely, older people who got overpaid on the CPP or their OAS, you're going to see some very, very unhappy individuals whose first contact, in the case of the young ones, with the tax people will be extremely negative.
That's true.
And that's really what my concern is. When you talk about disabled people, you've got a whole different thing because, of course, what you often have in these cases, and I've seen many of them, is they claim medical expenses, which they consider to be legitimate.
Right.
And then along comes revenue and says, look, you're not allowed to deduct this, that, or the other.
Yep.
People who are disabled or have very heavy medical expenses, it has always been a contentious matter with regard to the deductibility of their outlays.
Right.
You see a lot of cases with those people who believe that they paid their full tax bill and then suddenly get hit between the eyes with a $4,000 or $5,000 bill,
yeah.
which they simply don't have because some of their medical expenses have been disallowed.
Right. Well, and now we have the situation where they may have unknowingly been overpaid, and they're going to be talking to the same people.
That's right.
These are very young people, too, aren't they, these collectors? People who would probably have very little experience of disability.
Well, that is probably true. That is probably true. I mean, the thing is, and I got to say in all fairness, you know, revenue's got policies in place, you know, which are designed, you know, to give some relief. And there's actually provision would say that, you know, in hardship cases, they can forgive interest and so on. But there's a big difference between what the policies that are in place and the people at head office in Ottawa are well aware of and what's happening in the trenches.
Right.
That's where the difference is. If you talk to a very senior revenue guy, you know, and I make these comments about the collections guy, they're first reaction is, no, they won't do that. They can't do that because we have these broad policies in place. But that doesn't translate into the trenches.
No. You know, the costs aren't reimbursed by Revenue Canada.
No, your costs aren't reimbursed.
No.
I mean,
no.
You're fighting with your own money, believe me. they're fighting with your money, and
yeah.
You're fighting with your money.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame to see pensioners you know, disabled people and students put in this position.
Yeah, well, it happens with unfortunate regularity.
Mm-hmm. Are these collectors, do they work on an incentive basis, do you know?
Well, it's interesting. There has always been allegations that that the auditors and collectors have an incentive. The government swears up and down that this isn't true.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm not going to call the government a bunch of liars, but you know, presumably in measuring how well somebody performs a job as an auditor or as a collector, their superiors at least take a look at how successful they are.
Of course.
And success is measured presumably by how much you collect. So that it's probably absolutely true that there are no quotas and so on.
Right.
But at the same time, the practicalities of promotion and so on depend upon success.
Yes. Okay. How do you think the public is responding to this? It seems a risky thing for a government to do when they're in a minority position, but I don't know if the voters are aware of it.
Well, I think that, you know, the government, I think, perhaps hasn't really thought it through because, you know, they're not sitting here where an ordinary tax lawyer or accountant easy things are. Their position, I would assume, would be that this is a move towards efficiency.
Yes.
That you've got a good collection agency in place. Why not expand their role? So the government would probably plead that this is a an efficiency and cost-saving measure.
All right.
So there's a bit of a disconnect between those who make the decisions and those who are in the trenches.
That's true. Is there anything else that you would like to say to someone listening who is either unaware of this situation or wants to do something about it now that they have become aware?
The only thing I would say, I'm a bit hesitant, but if you're with a real tough collector from revenue, it's often worthwhile going and talking to a tax lawyer or a tax accountant who, even if he can't solve, you know, your debt problem,
yes,
has got experience in dealing with the collections people.
Right.
Because very often when you've got somebody who's had a level of experience, they can deal with the collection side of revenue much better than any individual.
Probably.
Of course, you know, there aren't that many who are going to do it just as a favor because they think you're cute.
No. No, but I hear you that someone who has done this before is likely to be more successful at doing it again than
someone who
is afraid and upset.
I mean, in some cases, the individual may be able to solve the problem themselves.
Right.
But in very tough cases, it may be necessary to talk to a professional.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Drace. I appreciate your time with us today.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're out of time for outgoing music on Disrespect this week. In the middle of the show, you heard Ray Wiley Hubbard from the album Eternal and Low Down, the cut, Nighttime. Next week, Disrespect has all the elements of a top media story, I'm sorry to say. Cancer-stricken veterans, deformed babies, uprooted families. We're going to cover this story, however, in advance. We're going to post it to the web on Saturday. Send your suggestion to radio.stories@gmail.com. radio.stories@gmail.com. Disrespect's interviews are digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.